Hey, what's up, everybody? Ulysses Butch Slaughter here, honoring the magic, miracles, and mysteries of my parents, Clarice and Ulysses. This is Ulysses Presents Sex and the Struggle with my sister, Tazima Davis. We call this Exploring Intimacy. It's Friday, October the 13th. Happens to be my mother's birthday. And I'm so glad to be spending this time with my sister, Tazima Davis, who is going to take us into a very important topic. That topic is intimacy. My sister Tazima, what's up, sis?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm good here. Day. I'm excited. My warmth and hugs go out to you today, with honoring your mother. First of all, it is a beautiful thing to have the love of a mother and to have the kind of relationship that you've had up, you know, until her time and the beauty that you created with your father, even after all of the hard stuff. So sending you love and honor at this
Thank
time.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I know
and
it's so probably a billion
today,
people out there
yeah.
waiting to hear from you, girl. I know they out there clamoring. They can't wait.
Yeah, today is one of those myth busting days. So I'm really all about busting those myths, because, you know, at the end of the day, what I'm really wanting to do, especially with this particular show, Exploring Intimacy, is to really talk about the things that actually get us off track in relationships. So one of the challenges that I see is that people, especially as people are together for a while, you know, this happens a little bit in dating, where people are early on in their relationship, they have NRE or new relationship energy, and then when that goes away, they're concerned that they've fallen out of love with the person, or this person's not the one. Or in a longer term relationship, what it looks like is, you know, we were so good years ago, but, you know, now that we've been married for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, it's just not the same as it was before. Now, while I intellectually understand what you're saying, it's actually a myth that needs to go away, or it necessarily becomes that you fall out of love and there's no hope for people who stay together for a long period of time. It's just not true. It's just what we're looking for is a different thing. There are actually neurological studies about this attraction thing and how it works. So I'm going to be sharing some of that with all of you. And the other part that is a huge aspect of this perpetuating this myth is Hollywood and Disney specifically. Mm-hmm. Those two mm-hmm. industries that have influenced basically the entire world. You got Hollywood, and then you've got Bollywood, and you've got Nollywood, the Nigerian film industry. You've got all these different places around the world that are continuing to perpetuate this myth of, like, you know, being swept up by this, you know, Prince Charming, basically. All these love stories are basically absolutely the same story, but just with different characters and different costumes, different time periods. So yeah, that's where I want to kick it off. And Ulysses, I'd actually love for you to share sort of any kind of romantic like influences that you either have dealt with in the past or that kind of still linger around, or anything on that.
Yeah,
that
you know, first of all, I appreciate you you setting the context, because I think sometimes we forget that we are influenced. Our behavior is influenced. There's something about the notion that our behavior is natural, and that there's a way that we are outside of influence, and just nothing can be further from the truth. And I appreciate also what you talk about often. We talk about relationship as practice a lot of the times, and there's a certain kind of consciousness that we should want to bring to relationship. It's something that is so important that you do want to study. I think that there's this notion that there's, again, a natural thing that we should be in flow with, and if it ain't working effortlessly, then it ain't meant to be. And that if it doesn't have a particular vibe to it, then it ain't meant to be. And I am, I'll just use the word guilty of thinking that things are supposed to go a certain kind of way. And, you know, one of the things that I hear people say a lot to Zima is that so-and-so couldn't handle me. You know, people are always talking about being handled a particular kind of way. There's an underlying thing there that says that I'm going to make it hard. I'm not going to be easy to get along with. And if you can't keep up with me, then that's your problem. That I'm too much for you. I hear that a lot too. And so I'm looking forward to where you're going to go with this, because I too have been subjected myself to a lot of these storylines that a lot of other people have fallen victim to.
Yeah, and it's ubiquitous. That's the thing. It's sort of like telling fish about water. It's like, well, what are you talking about? You know, it's what's really going on. There is no water to a fish. It's just life. And
that's
so,
right.
If we're living in this water called romantic comedy or romantic drama, you know, then that's what it is. And one more thing before I, of course, bounce into the literature is this idea that that if you're arguing, it's a bad relationship, and if you don't argue, it's a good relationship. Someone's always bringing drama. I want to have a drama-free relationship. The only reason why there's drama, by the way, even the person calling out drama in relationship, okay, well, we didn't have chemistry. He was all about that drama, or she was all about that drama. Guess what? If you're calling out drama, you're probably in drama.
Thank you for saying that one. That one in particular, I've been seeing that a lot lately. People who are drama free, I'm like, if you're drama free, you're probably dead. And that ain't gonna be no fun.
Seriously.
I ain't into that corpse thing, Tazima.
So to kick it off, one of my favorite books right now that I recommend to couples, especially those who are in long-term committed relationships, this is a book that you can really work with your partner. It's actually by two of my mentors, Bob Wright and Judith Wright. Judith Wright is excellent at this work, and Bob Wright is also, they're of course married, and they have couples work programs and whatnot here in the Chicagoland area. But in their book, Heart of the Fight, where they're actually talking about fights, they talk about the misconception that it's all about, you know, the misconceptions that people have about compatibility and chemistry, and that they say that falling in love, they talk about the chemistry of falling in love, is that your neurochemicals actually involve dopamine. So dope, basically you're high on love, or the person makes them crazy. Any of that kind of stuff has actually been proven to be shown that people who are quote unquote in love, but is actually infatuation, it's in the early stages of connection and just getting to know someone, there are these chemicals, but basically they're short-lived, get high chemicals. So you literally are kind of high on love and romance. And it's very exciting in the beginning. Also, by the way, the person seems really fantastic because you don't have any history with them. You haven't seen their dirty draws yet. You haven't been in the shit with them where, you know, something hard happened or something has continuously happened over time. You haven't had any history with the person. That's also why the person at the coffee shop or your coworker that you're just infatuated with, you see in the wherever in the hallway by the water cooler, you don't have much shared history. And it's one of the reasons why it's so attractive is that it is the anonymity that's part of that. So there is a lovesick feeling that sometimes is associated with the beginning of love. This is also what people are looking for when they're like, oh, it was so amazing and we just had so much fun. It's dopamine, people, which is great. But it doesn't last, okay?
I just hear people's hearts breaking.
Tell me about
your size. You're breaking it down, Tazima. I'm like, people are like, what? You mean to tell me it ain't real? I'm high? Okay, yeah.
You're high. You are high. You are high. But the good thing is, though, there is a benefit to long-term partnerships. They have shown studies similar, well, studies on the other side of this that actually talk about consummate love, or companionate love. And consummate love is sort of the in-between where you're starting to establish, like, you two are together, you're continuing, you're creating. There are more opiates in your relationship. So those are long-term happy chemicals that last over hours. Yes, opiates is still dope, but it still feels good, but it's a longer-lasting, more deeply satisfying kind of chemical high. By the way, we're all on chemical highs of one sort or another. Some people are just mm-hmm. addicted to angry chemicals or, you know, drama chemicals. So companionate love specifically is the type of situation where you are, this is your companion, this is the person, and if you get bad news, your vital signs are actually stay calmer if they're holding your hand. Stuff is fascinating. It's really great. So I am actually in favor of people being able to get to the place where they have enough trust, knowing, being known by their partner, that they can get to this place where, you know, being able to weather the storms of life together is the norm for you too, rather than weathering storms between each other. Okay. So, you know, you become teammates. So what I'm helping people to do is to become more of teammates than opponents in their relationships. All right. So even when we're fighting, you can still fight and be on the same side. So it's a different concept. And for those of you who are dating who might not be in this place yet of being able to establish this kind of partnership, it takes a little while. And that's why long-term relationships are really, really awesome. But it's also very challenging getting there when you have the backdrop of Disney and Hollywood and, you know, the princess stories and, you know, the pretty woman's, you know, all these kinds of storylines where, you know, you're expecting that this person is just going to sweep you away and can read your mind and everything's going to be beautiful. Okay? It can be beautiful. It just takes some work and consciousness and teamwork.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up, Tazima, because I, as I'm listening to you, I'm just amazed at how we sometimes think that we're not influenced by all of the images and all of the storylines that we hear every day, that, you know, the so-called subconscious in the subliminal programming, which is not as subliminal as we might think. I mean, it's right there in our faces. But all of the programming that goes into creating a society, you know, that we are actually being impacted, because there are people who understand, I'm going to be careful with this one, but there are people who understand elements of social control and what it means to feed it through mass media, mass messages, individuals, so that they will behave a particular kind of way. And if we're not, if we're not shrewd, if we in partnership are not shrewd enough to understand and are not, as you said, partners, study partners in many ways around these matters, we wind up thinking that we just can't have our way with this person because it's not meant to be with this person, when in fact we are subject to some of the same rules that everybody else is subject to. And if we're not conscious of that, we wind up going from relationship to relationship looking for what Disney, as you put it, or Hollywood, we wind up looking for that stuff, and we keep getting lost because we don't understand that we're actually under the influence of some extremely powerful forces.
Yeah, and speaking of powerful forces, I actually want to dive even a little further into the neurology of this. Is that when we are any age below the age of 7? So you can think about, like, when little girls start watching Disney movies and when little boys start watching whatever they're into. Not like whatever they're into, but sort of the hero stuff, the stories where there's an underdog and, like, these gender roles before the age of 7 whatever we are living or seeing is entering our minds without a filter. It's entering our consciousness without a filter of discernment. We don't know what's right and wrong. We are literally soaking up like a sponge everything, all the behavior of all of the people around us and all of the images that we see, just soaking it straight in with no filter. So what we see is the world is teaching us how to survive this world. So we're just like basically making our program. We're writing lines of programming into our brains and our psyches. This is very, very, very hard to break because it's a lot of this stuff is even coming in pre-verbal. So however you grew up, whatever movie it was that you watched every, you know, every day, two times a day, three times a day when you were six, that's what's in your mind, that's what's in your consciousness, and that's what you're unconsciously creating. So with that as this backdrop, it's not even like, oh, I was, you know, I don't watch those kind of movies anymore. No, it's in your makeup. So there's not even, it's not even about you being conscious about whether or not you're doing it. You're doing it, I promise you. But there is hope. There's plenty of hope, which is cool. Yes.
Oh, no. I'm just taking a deep breath, like okay. Everybody else is probably taking a deep breath under the realization that there is hope. I was like, because my shoulders were down, and as soon as you said there was hope, I was like, cool, let me have it.
Yeah. There is hope. But part of it is like realizing what we are working with. So it's not like you're going to change it just because you know about, you know, whatever, whether it was, you know, the Little Mermaid or Velveteen Rabbit or like whatever it was, you know, Lion King.
You know them all. Damn, you just named them all, Kazima.
Right?
You mean that one too?
Yep. And for the younger generation, Cars or, you know, Aladdin or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
okay.
whatever those single digit memories are for you, that's what's in there. All right. Okay. So, let's keep going with attraction because we talked about connection and chemistry. Let's talk about attraction. So, women often talk about they're wanting to be swept away or their denial of wanting to be swept away and swept up by Prince Charming. The issue with level 10 attraction, this is information from one of my other favorite teachers. Her name is Alison Armstrong. She's really a genius on man-woman dynamics. She's one of the best. I really like her stuff a lot. She talks about level 10 attraction and how dangerous it is. I've seen it so many times, especially in the folks who are dating and looking for a long-term committed relationship. They are really turned on by, you know, the hot guy, but they are turned kind of like off by the not-so-hot guy who is very attentive. So the distance, you know, super hot, oh, my God. This also goes for men as well. So think of, like, the woman that they feel might be out of their league, you know, of like,
right.
Oh, my God, she is so gorgeous. I'm nuts
right.
about her. I'm terrified by her. I can't even possibly think about talking to her. But then they do, and then they, quote, unquote, win the level 10. The
right.
problem with level 10 chemistry and attraction is that you literally lose your ability to negotiate, like, in a way that honors your standards.
Can you repeat that, please?
So you will tolerate, yes. You lose the ability to negotiate while keeping your standards. So your standards go out the window. Your boundaries go out the window. The person can treat you like crap, can call you all kinds of names, can, you know, cheat on you, can treat you badly, can break all your rules. Okay, the main reason I can talk about this is not only because I've studied this stuff, but I'm also a client of this idea.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Okay.
I was like, go ahead, here it comes.
Here it comes. This has happened to me. You know, the sex and intimacy coach. I know about this stuff. I've studied this stuff. And it happened to me. I was with someone. No, my folks know, you know, like some people know me long enough. Some of my current friends have known me long enough to know that I was the straight edge person in college. I literally did not have a drink, did not do any substances. I was in high school when everybody was underage drinking. I was the self-designated driver. I had a minivan. I was like, I'm taking all of y'all home. I didn't have a curfew. So it wasn't even like I was, you know, under wraps or whatever. I was a free person. You know, I could have chosen to do all kinds of stuff, but I chose to be straight edge because I'm a control freak and that's the way that it is. But into all that stuff. So I've always wanted to be in control. I'm not, you know, not way into substance stuff, but the dude that I chose and that I was like literally like wanting to make babies with him, like I literally would see him and I was like, I want to mate with you. It was so primal, so primal. Like I could feel my body being like, you need to have sex right now. Okay. I was nuts. This man both smoked and drank. Hello, like daily smoker and smoked marijuana, like cigarette marijuana, and would drink several beers a day. Like, that's not even who I am. But I was done. I mean, but that's what level 10 attraction will do to you. And people sort of idolize this level 10 attraction, and it's a huge problem. Huge problem. Okay.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm biting my thumb right now. Like, eek. You know, and I'm sure some other people out there thinking, she, like I told you last week, she's watching me somewhere. She's watching me, looking around the room for cameras. Like, all you got to do now is just give our names, you know, just tell us I'm talking to you and I'm talking to you and I'm talking. Cause
right. Right.
But you know what I love about what you do
you like-
is that
yeah.
you talk about this from experience. And I think what's so important for people to get is that, like you've been saying all along, that we all are subject to some of the same stuff when we are not when we're not like conscientiously partnering, studying, when we're not actually open, we all fall prey to the same stuff. And there's really no shame in the game.
Right.
You know, this is not about shaming people. This is about just saying, hey, look, we got something in common. And since we got something in common, we can have this conversation. Just one last point quickly.
Right.
So this is when people talk about – people talk with me about sex or sex in the struggle, they always say, well, that's a private thing. I'm like, you have no idea how public your shit is. You really have no idea how public, how common your shit is. You're so busy trying to make this a private conversation that you don't understand how public and how common we are. And it's cool. So stop saying that it's private, that is uncommon, like you're so different. You're just not. So,
no.
I'm sorry. I'm listening again.
It's actually, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have company. It's wonderful to know that you're not alone on this. It's wonderful to know that the coach that is supporting you has experienced the thing that is driving you nuts. Hello.
Absolutely.
I know what it feels like from the inside. It is absolutely uncomfortable. I have never been on and off with anyone ever except that dude. Hello. Okay? Ever. 2.5 years. So I know what that is like. All right, people? So you can totally have a different experience. I am having a completely different experience now. I am completely into my man. My man is completely into me. It's awesome. So you too can have this. One more thing I want to talk about attraction, and more neuroscience. I want to give it to you so that you know what you're working with. Not so much that it's hopeless. Just know that this is what your body is doing. So just be with it and we can make different choices. All right. So in a study where of basically attraction, like primal attraction, pheromones, stuff that basically bypasses your consciousness of choice, there is a hormone in a pheromone in men sweat that women are attracted to. And when women are not on the pill, so they're just naturally being attracted to whomever, during their ovulation, they're attracted to more masculine men. And when they're on their period, or, you know, in when they're not ovulating and they're, or they're getting ready for their period, they're actually looking for men who are very similar, so like family, so genetically more similar. So during your ovulation, when you're looking to mate, you're looking for dissimilar genetics. We can actually literally smell that and make sense for the survival of the species. Without, when you're not ovulating, you're looking to be comforted by men who are more similar to your family. Now, this is the disturbing part. I'm going to just throw this in here, y'all, right at the end. Five more minutes. All right. So women who were on birth control pills, this is a study, if you want to get this and you want to read it, it's on page 274 and 275 of Sex at Dawn. It's a fantastic, amazing book.
Repeat that name, Tazima. What's it called?
Using Sex at Dawn, like the dawn
sex
of
at dawn.
Human beings.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Sex at Dawn. It's an amazing book. When the women were using birth control pills, there was a T-shirt study with men. They wore T-shirts without deodorant. Women who were using birth control pills chose men's shirt randomly or showed a preference for men with similar immunity or genetics to their own. So this has major implications for women who are on the pill, because we're not attracted to men who have similar hormones and smells to us, because we want to breed in ways that are that would be best for our babies, period. Like, that's straight up what the pheromones are about. It's about the survival of the species and the best possible immune function. So when you're basically inbreeding with your family, is basically what these women are looking for. So what ends up happening is you meet, you fall in love, probably because you're on the dopamine again. You date for a while. This person is really nice. And then they get married. And then after they get off the pill, because they want to make babies after their marriage, you know, it's all legal, all good, then they find they're not attracted to their husband because it feels icky, like it's your brother. Because you were attracted to a dude who provided comfort because your body thought you were ovulating or pregnant. I mean, not ovulating, but pregnant. Okay.
Girl, you're killing me. You're killing me here. Because you know, you got like all of 3 minutes. If you were a Disney movie, you would be all, this would be all fucked up because you wouldn't be able to give us a happy ending.
Right.
We got 2 minutes.
Right.
And
we do
and
have
you go,
a happy ending.
We do?
Yes. So the good news is that, one, now that you're aware of this stuff, number one, I'm not going to tell you for sure to, like, get off the pills. Some people like that you need it. But just know that you're going to be biased in who you're attracted to. And as you become attracted to someone, you're going to look for, especially those of you who are dating, look for someone who's around a level 7 attraction, because what's cool about that 6 or 7, like, you're attracted to them enough that, like, oh, okay, cool, you're a decent person, this is awesome. This is goes for men and women. So level 7, 6 or 7 attraction, what you can build, though, is level 10 intimacy. And that's the most important part, is to be able to build with someone who believes in the similar things that you do. You agree on certain principles, the way that you want to live your life. You don't want to, you know, fundamental disagreements are a little tough to cross a bridge, but you can. I mean, it is possible to really opening yourself up. It's possible to stretch across some pretty significant gaps. But your main thing that you want to aim for is someone who you can actually be yourself with that person. When I met my man, I was completely not, like, I wasn't expecting him to be around. I was totally myself when I met him, and he got to meet the real me. The more that you get the person to meet the real you, that's when you're going to be able to have more success in your relationship.
Tazima, you got 10 seconds to tell people how to reach you and to let them know that you'll be back next Friday, because, again, there's probably going to be some people drinking after this one.
InfiniteRelating.com. And the folks can tune in next week. We'll be talking about unilateral disclosure and conflict, We're also going to talk a little bit more about sexy stuff, too. So we'll talk about sex next time, too.
Well, I'm going to sign us out, but I want you all to know that Tazima Davis will be with me at the next Sex and the Struggle. We are talking about God is Sex on November the 19th, 2017, in the city of Chester, about 10 miles outside of Philadelphia. You want to be there. There's a reason why I hang around this sister. I want y'all to know, because every time I think I know a bunch of shit, she comes on and she says stuff like this. I got to go get new books. I got to reconsider my whole existence when I'm done listening to Tazima. And I got to tell you, I like living in stupidity sometimes, Tazima. So your shocking me into reality is not appreciated on one level, but absolutely I love it on another. I don't appreciate this shit because I had some ideas about some things I was going to do when I got off the line with you. Now I got to go read.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go read now. Yeah, okay, great.
I know.
Yeah, well, thank you as always, sister, for fucking up my day. I will look forward to seeing you on the 19th. And I'm looking forward to being back on here with you next week. This has been Sex and the Struggle, Exploring Intimacy with Tazima Davis. We are signing out, and we will see you all, talk to you all next week. Have a wonderful week, Tazima. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.